Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are delighted to have join us here the great Lance Zierlein. Lance, welcome. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. We've got a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. I'm arguing that Super Monday ought to be the day off, not President's Day. Carla's disagreeing with me as usual. But
there's a lot to talk about post-Super Bowl. So
there's a lot to talk about. You bet. All right, let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. Some debate who deserves more of the blame, if you will, for the way things went down in the fourth quarter. Bad play calling or bad execution?
You know, I think it was a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I mean, both of those guys had figured things out relatively well in a couple different quarters. Obviously, I thought Shanahan kind of blew it before the half.
Yep.
By just basically eating the last 2 minutes. That really didn't make any sense. It felt reminiscent of what we used to see from his old head coach, Gary Kubiak, at times with the Houston Texans, where Gary would get exceedingly cautious before a half. And I think that really tells you what you need to know about Kyle Shanahan's trust level with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, had a good game until the fourth quarter, and then he just couldn't make the plays. And I thought Shanahan obviously could have run the ball more and really locked in with the running game. And, you know, I know he didn't want to be too predictable, but at the same time, it was working. It was working. So, don't try to mix it up. Go with what's working. And but you know, I can't help but think everyone's going to lean on that. But if they get two first downs in that quarter, I think they're in pretty good shape.
It was so close. They almost did, right?
But, yeah,
right. And I think that was the problem is they couldn't stem the flow of the momentum that had reversed on them and gone in Kansas City's favor. And once that happened, it was just, you know, it almost, I don't know, you guys felt this way, but it almost felt inevitable once Kansas, even before Kansas City, you know, completed the long pass down the sideline to get in position to take, you know, to take the lead.
Yeah, no, I felt it was inevitable as well, Lance. That's so true. I want to ask you a quick question about the Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes. We just came from media, you know, Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and I've got to say, every day began with the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. It was talked about all day long, and every day ended with the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. In my opinion, he was crowned the MVP the day they won the AFC Championship and got their berth to the Super Bowl. He did not have a great game for him, and yeah. I've never seen a Super Bowl quarterback MVP with two interceptions. I don't know. I'm really scratching my head about it. Did the media crown him, or did he really earn it in your opinion?
No. Well, I mean, look, he earned the win, not the MVP. That was Damian Williams. And granted, one of Damian Williams' touchdowns came late in the game. But, I mean, for me, I felt like that was just not one of his, not only was it not one of his better games, I thought it was one of his lesser games since he's been healthy. And,
agreed.
You know, if you had to say was that an MVP game, no, that was definitely not an MVP game for Pat Mahomes. I understand why he got the nod. Because he did score, you know, he had a passing touchdown, he had the rushing touchdown. It made some sense in that regard, but that was not one of his better games.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein. He is also an NFL draft expert. He's on NFL.com. You can look at his first mock draft. I want to shift gears to the draft. Okay. And I've looked at your first mock, and of course Joe Burrow goes number one at quarterback. It's always fun to look at the quarterbacks. You've got Tua going number five to the Dolphins, but the one that surprised me a little bit was Justin Herbert going number six to the Chargers. Is Herbert worthy of the number six pick?
Well, so I think we know the Chargers have to do something at quarterback. They have Easton Stick now from North Dakota State, and that's just not going to be good enough. Phillip Rivers looks like he's done.
Yep.
So it's really making it, you know, it was kind of an easy one to plug in there. Now, I think what you have to keep in mind is there an outside chance that Tom Brady could go there? Is there a chance that Cam Newton could be traded there? Is there someone they might be targeting via trade or, you know, free agency, whatever the case may be?
Maybe a Teddy Bridgewater, right? I mean, Teddy Bridgewater could spill out there as well, right?
Absolutely, and Teddy Bridgewater could be the guy. But even if they went after Teddy Bridgewater, I don't know that there's enough to assume that you're going to go all in with Teddy. So it wouldn't shock me if they took, you know, if he's available, if they took Justin Herbert and still had another veteran. I don't think you want to throw Herbert in right away. So I think we will see two brand new quarterbacks in San Francisco. With the Chargers, I think we'll see a drafted quarterback is definitely potentially happening, it could be Tua. Now, there's a lot of rumors about Justin Herbert being the quarterback that the Miami Dolphins really like. So we'll really see how it plays out. But I do think, you know, Rivers has obviously played his last game there. And so now it was an easy plug-in for me. When I had a Herbert still on the board and a massive need at quarterback, it just made sense for me to plug Herbert in right there at the Chargers.
Okay, Lance, let me ask you, because we've got a couple spots for the Raiders in the first round.
Lance, you knew you should go right to the Raiders there.
I waited one question before I went into that. Are these going to be the Las Vegas Raiders? Are they going to break the bank for TB12?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. And, Mike Mayock, I had a chance to talk to him a little bit at the Senior Bowl, and they really do have a process in place right now. I think he's happy with what he and Gruden are trying to build. I think that, you know, the building blocks are basically they want to have the right guys in there who love football, high football character players, who will do things the right way. He talked about how guys in the building were happy when he got rid of Antonio Brown. They texted him and told him as much. If you're going to build towards something, I understand bringing Tom Brady in if it's a 2-year commitment, and if you really think that he struggled because of what was around him at New England. But I just have a hard time believing that.
Tom
Brady,
too.
I mean, that was just such a disappointing season for Brady. And age is undefeated. I cannot find anywhere in the history books of any sport where a player who's over the age of 40 takes a sharp decline and then bounces back. It just doesn't exist. And so people who are looking for that, they're just thinking, well, it's just same old Tom Brady. We said that all year long, and he never bounced back. I mean, he never bounced back all year long. So I'm not sure it's going to get substantially better with the Raiders team that, let's face it, you can speak to this, Carla. It's not like they're loaded with offensive weapons at the receiver position.
Right. And that's one of their biggest needs besides massive holes at linebacker is getting a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, I will say this. This is a good year to need receiver because you got some in the first round, and I gave the Raiders a receiver, and I do think they'll bolster their wide receiving core. So, you know, you also could look at it and say, well, you got a decent offensive line in front of you, a good running back, and you're going to pick up potentially a first-round wide receiver. So that would be something that would definitely help Brady. But once again, I just don't know that this is the same Brady, and not only that, I think Tom Brady is going to be a Patriot again. I think we're going to see him one more year.
I do too. I think all of this is to just up his. He is not used to not being talked about during Super Bowl week, and so I think he's keeping his brand going. And you know, I see that you've got. I love that you've got Jerry Jeudy at number 12 for Oakland. If he, there's a chance to me that he may not last that long. How do you feel about CeeDee Lamb in that same spot as the first receiver taken by Oakland?
Well, so I like CeeDee Lamb in that spot because I think he can play inside or outside. He can play slot. He can play outside. He's really, really talented with the ball in his hands. So he's the type of player that you can throw the ball to him and with easy slants and quick routes. And if you are going with Derek Carr, and you know they're not going to be very challenging throws, and yet you could maximize those shorter, controlled passing game throws and turn them into something after the catch. So I don't have a problem with CeeDee Lamb. I just, you know, there's some people in the scouting community that think CeeDee is going to run a little slower than people anticipate. Mm. That, I mean, he's not going to be slow, but he might be high 4.4s and maybe even to the 4.5 range. And if that's the case, it may take a little. Maybe a little shine off the star, just because there are such talented receivers with really good speed. And so, if Judy runs well and Henry Ruggs from Alabama also run well, it could be interesting to see where CeeDee Lamb ends up if he falls a little bit. Because I do think it's possible that he could fall just a little bit.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. You can see his first mock draft on NFL.com. So, Lance, I'd love to ask you, positions that are strong. You mentioned the wide receiver has a lot of talent. What other positions do you see as a strength in this draft?
So offensive tackle is going to be a pretty good draft, and that's something I haven't had a chance to say very often. It's been a while since I've said pretty good offensive tackle draft. Running back has pretty good talent, running back, better than last year, so I would say running back isn't bad. It's a little rough as at edge rusher. It's a little rough at linebacker. Defensive tackle, there are some decent defensive linemen that are going to be available this year. And I think it's a little overblown, the cornerback talent, because I think there are a couple of guys out there that are a little bit overrated. But I kind of like 6 to 7 cornerbacks in this draft as well. So I think if you're willing to jump up there and take him inside the first 40, I think you could go end up finding a potentially an early starter at cornerback if you're willing to do it once again with the first 40 to 50 picks of the draft.
Looking at the Colts at number 13, in your comments you said that they might be tempted to take Jordan Love. Are they not convinced that Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback of the future?
I think it'd be hard to be convinced after what you saw this year. Now, granted, T.Y. Hilton was really beat up for a stretch of the year where even when he came back, he wasn't fully healthy. You just didn't have the weapons. You had injuries with Paris Campbell, who was a draft pick from last year as well. Their top free agent, Devin Funchess, was hurt for the entire season. He got hurt in game one. So it's a little incomplete. I'm not 100% sure that that's the case, but at the same time, it was really hard over the second half of the season to see moments where he elevated his play. And I think ultimately, if you don't think he's a guy that can elevate his play right now, then you do have to keep all aspects of the draft open to you or acquisition of talent open to you, because we know that quarterbacks make the world go round. We saw in the Super Bowl, one guy was a playmaker and one guy was a snap taker. And that's the difference between winning at a high level and, you know, being a little, having to surround yourself with a bunch of first round picks on the defensive line like San Francisco did.
So at the moment, you could see what, 4 quarterbacks going in the first round, Jacob Eason going to 14 to the Buccaneers?
Well, so that was kind of a surprise pick. Because I do think that he will remind Bruce Arians of Carson Palmer.
Huh.
But, I mean, big arm, big guy. I'm not sure he's going to make it through the personality test from what I understand. I think there's going to be some stuff where some teams may not be in love with him. So I think when it's said and done, if there's a 4th quarterback, it's Jordan Love, probably not Jacob Eason.
Okay. All right, Lance, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. That's Lance Zierlein. You can see his mock draft on NFL.com, and you can hear him on KFNC Houston. Thanks, Lance.
Thanks, guys.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.